Session number 9955, Reel 1.
Mr. Calvert, Reel 1. I wonder if you could tell me something about your background before the war. When were you born?
I was born 3rd of September 1899 in Manningham, Bradford.
And what was your parents' profession? What did they do?
My father worked for his father in a ironmongery business in Carlisle Road, and had four sisters and one brother.
What sort of background do you think it was? Were you brought up comfortably, or was it a struggle?
Just the usual everyday life as it was in those days amongst working class people. I started going out at the age of, 9 or 10, delivering papers, running errands, and anything where I could get hold of some extra money so I hadn't to be a burden on my parents for pocket money. Because if you remember, there were 8 in the family. And in those days, money was tight, wages were very low, and you were lucky to be able to have a comfortable life.
What was your house like?
It was a back house, back to back. There was a living room, a cellar-head kitchen, the cellar which every house had in those days, 2 bedrooms, an attic bedroom. No hot water, 1 fireplace for the warmth and cooking of meals in the big oven. It was gas lighting, outside toilet, but it was not a dry one, it was being made as the usual flush type. And I had a good life.
How did there's 8 of you, how did you spread out amongst the 3 bedrooms?
Well, father and mother was in one, 2 boys in one, and the 4 girls in the other. That was in the attic, was the old floor, you see. Fairly.
Were you a bit cramped?
Oh yes, yes. Was the usual practice in the area, because everybody worked in the textile, and the whole family were probably employed at one mill.
Did you get enough to eat? What was your diet like?
Well, there was always plenty to eat, because it was drilled into me and the other in the family by my mother. Always make sure you have a roof over your head, a warmth in the house, and something to eat on the table. That was the first thing you must do, and that was the way we lived. We'd always warmth, we were comfortable as far as it was possible, and we had enough food. There was always a big piece of meat on the Sunday, and then it was used again on the Monday. There were fish and chips, which were very cheap. Bread, of course. There's plenty of food, cheap, so we managed all right.
What about clothing? Is it hand-me-downs for most?
Yes, and patched. I used to go out with patches on the knee and here. And Sunday, you were always well turned out. As far as it was possible, you always had a good suit for Sunday to go to the chapel or church, and have a walk through the park, which was the main entertainment in those days.
Was it a religious family? Which denomination?
Christian. I Well, I tried the Methodist, the Wesleyan, the Baptist, and then the Church of England later on, and I'm still belong the Church of England.
Were your parents in one of those denominations?
My mother was. And my father didn't seem to be inclined that way, but he didn't object to us going. Encouraged it.
Where did you go to school, your first school?
The first school was Drummond Road School. That was on Carlisle Road. It was a big school, and we were well looked after by the teachers. I remember them to this day, Miss Majerison and Mr. G, and they're very nice teachers. They looked after us.
What were the teaching methods and what subjects were you taught?
The three R's. And a little history. And then, of course, we were given talks about behaviour after school hours. And that was about it. We used to have a concert once a year for the parents to show off what could be done by the classes in the school. Yes, it was. I left there at the age of 12 because I went to work half time.
Was there any prospect of you staying on at school and getting more education, or was that impossible with your family?
Impossible with the family. Couldn't be done.
So you were out to get work for money?
To go out and try and get money to make things comfortable at home.
Now, what was this? You mentioned the half time. Where was that at?
It was in a mill, Fields Mill. It was in the spinning department. There were racks, and you had a tub at front of you and strapping, and you had to put bobbins on, so that when the spinning below, that bobbin was full, it was taken off. They used to call out Doffio, and then the ones above were put on and they started the spinning again, and that's it, kept you going all the time. You've very little time to spare, and it, I think we started at 7 and finished at 12:30. You rushed home then for a meal, or it might have been 12, I'm not sure. You rushed home for a meal, then back to school for 1:30, 1:45. And it was a Church of England school, St Paul's.
It was in a different Manningham. School then.
Different school, St Paul's. The only, you couldn't stay on half time at Drummond Road School. You must go to a school where they accepted half times, because one week you were mornings and the next week you'd be afternoon. And I stayed there while I was 14.
What were they teaching you at St Paul's? Was it more of the same?
It was a Church of England school. It was the usual subjects: reading, writing, arithmetic, and I think we had lessons on singing, which I didn't like. Never amused me, did singing. Not to do it, I don't mind listening. Then, the age of 14.
Did you mind going to school? You were working and earning money during the mornings. Did you mind having to go to school in the afternoons or vice versa? When?
No, I enjoyed it. I like school. But,
what were you being paid for this half and half?
3 and 6 pence a week.
Were you allowed to keep any of that for yourself, or did it all go in the family budget?
It went into the family, and then you used to get back on a Saturday something for yourself, up to 6 pence or whatever your parents could afford.
What would you spend that on?
Well, little odds and ends, toys. You could get a toy for a penny, pea shooters and catapults, bow and arrow, and what boys generally went in for, that sort of thing.
What were your recreations then? How did you play, you know, in the evenings or...?
Well, I had plenty of mates, and maybe five or six of us used to go to the local park, and or else we used to play cricket in the open ground, which was available. Or we had the, it was a iron hoop, used to run it. And it was like a little, you know, handle, and that was a little hoop, what you saw, it used to be able to run. The faster you went, the better we were looked upon as being first class at it.
And what was it? You don't know what that was called?
I think it was a hoop, H-O-O-P, hoop. It was like a thin iron, big piece, properly made for the job. Then we used to have the skipping rope. We used to join the girls in seeing who could stay the longest skipping. So that kept us, shall we say, entertained. Bedtime was 9. You had to be in at 9 o'clock.
What about any of the organised boys' activities? Was there any sign in your area of the Church Lads Brigade or the Scouts or something like that? Did you join any of those
organisations? No, no organisation at all like that.
So it wasn't that you didn't join them, they just weren't there?
Just weren't there to join.
Now, you say you left school completely at 14.
Yes.
You didn't go into the mill straight then, did you?
No, I went to a small general engineering shop.
Now, why was that? You were already in the mill. Why didn't you just go full-time at the mill?
My father said you want a trade. If you've a trade, wherever you go, you've got the skill at your fingertips and you'll get a living. Manual work, no. That's what the advice he gave me. It was... a general engineering shop that couldn't do anything, repairs in a mill, make cogwheels or make keys for fitting wheels on shafts and planing, rough castings, boring, drilling. You could do the old job, there was all the machines, and there was just the boss, his son, and another chap. There were just three of them. I was the boy. It was a good place to go to for training.
What was the name of the firm?
Was in Richmond Road, Bradford.
So
I forgot the name of the...
What was the training they gave you? Were you weren't actually an apprentice from the sound of it?
No. It was... you were taken on and you were the general runabout. The first thing I had to do was to set the gas engine on in the morning. There's a long tube, and you had to put a light underneath it, gas. And then when it got red hot, you had to turn the gas on and start swinging a wheel, and then all of a sudden it'd be off. I didn't like doing it, but that was it. Then I used to go to a place where they made handcart Slingsby's in Preston Street. The wheels for these carts, what they used to wheel in warehouses and all that, and it was my job to collect those wheels, so many, up to 24 a week, put them on the boring machine and bore them out ready for fitting on the axle. That was the first job, but it wasn't very skilled, mind you. You had the piece of chalk until it, you know, you got it measured. Then you had to bore it out. Then deliver them back to the firm. And that was about 12 months.
No other duties you had to do?
Yes, take out all the turnings from the lathes, you know, the small metal, and put it in a place outside, because it was sold later on, scrap. Had that to do, and sweep the floor, keep it clean, and then go on with a chap on watching working the machine. I should think it would be a good place to have had a training, but I didn't like.
You didn't like it?
No, after 12 months, no, I didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I think it was the dirt and the noise. And the running about, you had to do this, do that.
What about the pay?
7 shillings a week.
Was that a decent wage then?
Well, about a third. The average wage would be about 22 or 23, more for a skilled engineer. It was less than a third. And you had to work Saturday morning overtime. There were places which closed. You had to go and work engineering work there. And I had to go with the two who went to do it as a kind of a labourer, fetch this, you know. So that was it.
So after 12 months there, you were looking for something else?
Well, that was now beginning of August.
Now, did you expect a war to come? Were you following things? Did you read newspapers?
Well, the newspaper at that time, I think the Telegraph, there were two in Bradford, I think there was the Telegraph and Argus, I think were two separate papers, half penny each. And everybody had a evening paper. I think the other ones were a penny. So I could read the paper. But I remember at school, the headmaster at the school was a captain out of the Territorial Army. Lodge, that was his name, Captain Lodge. And my father told me, he said, there could be problems with nations because Lord Roberts, and I forget the other one, were going round the country warning us, what I think Baden-Powell was the other, warning us of what was happening in Germany. And the territorials were recruiting fairly well in Bradford. That was the 6th Battalion West Yorkshires. The Royal Field Artillery were recruiting. They both had a military band and they used to be always around at the weekend, although they were known as the Saturday Afternoon Soldiers. That was the name they gave them. So recruiting was being carried out then. So the authorities must have had some idea to prepare.
And how about you yourself? Did you?
Well, I was interested in military because close to me there was a company quartermaster sergeant in the territorials. Pottage, they called him.
Pottage.
Pottage. Now he used to wear a scarlet uniform, you know, blue trousers and scarlet, and I thought how smart he looked there. And I was interested. And then there was a friend whose father was also in the artillery. So there was a little link then between me and the military, because I admired them when I saw them going to these drills which they held.
Were they commonly held in high esteem, the army, at that time, before the war, is it?
No, not to that extent. It was said they either won't work, or they've got a girl into trouble, or they've got some trouble and they're running away from it. They're joining the army to get away. That was the version.
But you didn't you were caught up with a different side of it.
Yes, I found out later the true worth of those people.
Now, what do you remember about the outbreak of war? When did you first get to know about it?
It was a lovely August, the 4th morning. I can remember it. I can see it as plain as now. I was going from home to work for 7 o'clock. And as I got at the top of end of Richmond Road, which is by the University of Bradford, there's a newsagent's shop. And outside was a big placard, war declared on Germany. And during that day, they were stopping, this was what was said to me and others. The military was stopping all horse-drawn vehicles. Horses were being taken for examination, and if they wanted them for army, they were taking them away. And mobilisation had taken place. In the evening, I went to Bellevue Barracks, and there were crowds round there, and everybody was excited. Any time they saw a soldier, he was right at the top of the tree, cheering and all that.
That's the local territorial barracks.
Yes,
Bellevue
Barracks.
Was that the 6th West Yorkshire?
That's right. 1st Battalion of the 6th West Yorkshire Regiment. Territorial.
And the crowd, what was the mood amongst the crowd? You said that the soldiers were at the top. Did you and they welcome the war? Was it a good thing in your view?
Well, the people welcomed it this way, that a challenge had been thrown down over Belgium, and they were eager to take that challenge. It's very patriotic, songs and singing, all that.
What sort of songs and singing was going on?
Rule Britannia, Land of Hope and Glory, all the favourites.
This is outside the barracks?
Yes, it was. I stayed there while late at night, about 10:30. I should have been home at 9:00. But anyway, it didn't matter, I suppose.
Was everybody caught up like that?
Yes, everybody was stood in groups talking. We've got to beat the Germans, and they're already setting off to enlist quite a number that day as it broke out.
You were just late into your 14th year by then.
Oh, nearly 15.
Did you think then, that first day, that you'd be drawn in? Because I know shortly afterwards you were, but did you straight away think, that's for me?
Yes, I did.
What made you think that?
Well, I suppose I'd been in touch with military people and been influenced by them. You see, the headmaster was a captain in the local territorials, and then the local men who were in the either the artillery or the infantry. So I more or less looked upon it that was what I wanted.
This is just an aside really in one sense, but what did you look like for your age though? Because you thought you might be able to get in, even at this early stage, but were you a big lad for your age?
Yes, I haven't grown a right lot more since then. So, I had no difficulty in passing chest measurement and height.
Right, so it was feasible, you could see that it was going to be feasible. That was the first day. What did your parents think on the first day when you got back home late and you told them what you'd been doing? What did they say?
Well, as far as I can recall, they were rather worried what would happen, knowing the strength of the German Navy and the Army, and our own small army and the French. Because my father had more or less had studied quite a lot of things in that line. He'd started to be trained as a doctor, but the money ran out, so he had to give it up. So he went to work then for his father. So he had a fair insight into these things, I believe.
Did you carried on going to work over this week. Did you carry on going to see the barracks, the Bellevue barracks?
Yes, then across the road there was what was called Manningham Lane Rink. There used to be a fix them on your boots, and there used to be a four wheels on it, you remember, I forget the names, roller skates. There were those. Now, this roller skating was taken over by the Bradford Pals, who were just forming them. They were in Blue Serge uniforms. There were no khaki available. And they were across there recruiting. They were up to strength in a few weeks. And so were the territorials and the artillery. They couldn't take any more at the time, and what they had to do then was to form another battalion, like the West Yorkshire's first six then were taken to York or somewhere, Skipton or somewhere, and a second six battalion then was formed to take in all those who wanted to attend, join up.
You saw all this happening from your place of work. What was the thought?
No, I got to know, because I went every night down the barracks and got talking to the sentry or whoever there was around and getting the latest information. They wouldn't let you in. A lot were living at home until they could. First week they were at home until they could get them sorted out and away to the camp for further training. No, I went amongst them and knowing some of them and got the latest information.
Now, when did you actually first decide to join up?
September. As soon as I was 15.
Why did you wait till you were 15?
Well, I thought I'd have a better chance than when I was 14. I'd grow a little more, probably. Yes, I walked into what I did. Instead of going to work, I left my working clothes in the scullery head, went out in my better clothing, walked into the barracks, lined up, not to test you in there and particularly taken them. It was sworn in, and it all took place inside hour. Received the king's shilling, it then was, and I was given a number, 3274.
And you joined the 2nd 6th Battalion then?
That's right, that was a training battalion.
Now, surely the doctor should have been able to tell you were underage, because it's a 3-4 year gap.
No difficulty. None whatsoever. I think he was paid for everyone he passed, so the more he passed, the better.
No one questioned you at all?
No, I just said I'm 18 and that was it. There were quite a number around 17, 16 and 17 who were joining.
Was there anyone join up at the same time as you? Did you join with a special friend?
No, I joined on my own.
Was there anybody you knew in that batch?
None.
So there was nobody there to actually say he's only 15?
No, no one.
What happened then? Before we go on to that, was one of the reasons you think the army life looked so attractive that you were so bored with your work life? In other words, was that part of the reason it was pushing you on, or was it patriotism? You've talked about that. What was it that was uppermost in your mind, you think, when you actually took the plunge?
I want it to be in the services, to take part in the war. I looked upon it as a big adventure. Having read all those adventure stories in the Wide World magazines in the local library, it made me feel that was a nice life, adventure. So that was the reason.
And did you contrast that with your own life, your rather dull life? Was that...
Well, I thought it might be more exciting. It was a dull life when you look at it in one way. Just work, and I think it was a penny to go into a bioscope as it was in those days. A penny to see this. I think it was in the fairground. You paid a penny if you had a bioscope.